Arhas glanced across the broad desk at the blond man in the expensive business suit, who lounged back in his chair as if it were a throne, a posture which made the suit look as if it had been made for someone else, someone who knew how to sit without sprawling.
There's only one tricky point. That's the civilian fleet interface on Sierra. It's the Sector HQ of a red zone sector. They do more than just glance at ID there.
Your IDs will be in order.
We could avoid the problem entirely by traveling with fleet from somewhere else. Comus, for instance.
No.
Explain.
It is not my place to explain. It is yours to comply with the contract.
It is not my place to be stupid.
With a flick of his gaze, Arhas ensured the blond man's continued existence for a space of time. How long depended on his mood, which the blond man was not helping. He reminded himself that the consulting fee transferred to the firm's account would pay for 3.5 rejuvenations at the rate that Gori had calculated would apply when they were through with the job. Fleet's fee for recalibrating all those weapons would give them something to live on. If they killed this messenger, they would have to deal with someone who might be worse.
If you want this done neatly, as you said, then you should listen to the experts.
Expert sneaks.
Clearly, the blond man had no respect, a condition dangerous in itself, beyond unpleasant. Arhas allowed an eyelid to droop. Before it rose again, the blond man was gasping for breath, the noose around his thick neck grooving the skin. The chair in which he sat had flipped restraints onto his arms and tightened them. Arhas did not move.
Insults annoy us. We are experts. That's why you hired us. It is part of our expertise to travel unnoticed, accepted. It is my opinion that waiting until Sierra Station to enter fleet jurisdiction will bring unwelcome notice. Civilian contractors, special consultants, normally join up with fleet transport closer to their point of origin.
Arhas smiled. The blond man's face had turned an ugly puce, but the blue eyes showed no fear, not even as they dulled with oxygen deprivation. He nodded, and the noose sprang away from the blond man's neck.
Mother devouring scum!
The blond man yanked hard, but the chair restraints held his arms down.
No. Experts. You pay us. We do your job. Cleanly. Thoroughly. But don't insult us.
You will regret this.
I don't think so. It is not my neck which has a mark from a noose. Nor will it.
If I were loose...
I would have to kill you if you attacked me. It would be most unfortunate.
You... You are too little.
Bloodhorde barbarian.
Losa had said nothing before now, projecting a quiet demeanor that fit the subordinate role she had seemed to have, a role the blond man had been brought up to expect from women.
Do you still think size is everything, after all your defeats?
Peace, Losa. It is no part of our contract to instruct this individual in the realities of hand-to-hand fighting. We have no reason to give him gratuitous data.
As you wish.
Now, we will expect half the fee on deposit with our bankers by midday tomorrow, the next fourth when we arrive at Sierra Station, and the final fourth when we have completed the task. No, don't argue. You lost your bargaining advantage when you insulted us. You can always hire someone else if you don't like my terms. You won't find anyone as good. You know that already. But it's your choice. Take it or leave it. Which?
Take, greedy swine.
Very good.
No need to mention that every insult now, after that warning, would raise the price of the job. One did not have to like one's customers if they produced enough profit, and Arhas, the best in his field, knew to a single credit how much it took to satisfy his feelings. Although the job itself was intriguing, a challenge he would not have thought of by himself, but one well worth the attempt.
Not the attempt, the achievement.
He had no doubts. They had not failed in an assignment in years. Getting this buffoon out of the office quietly was the only problem that concerned him once the buffoon had thumbprinted a credit authorization. After the blond man left, Losa looked at Arhas skeptically.
Nasty and dangerous.
Yes, but solvent. We don't have to like them.
You said that before.
It's true.
He scared me. He wasn't afraid. He was just angry. What if they... What if they want revenge for the insult?
Arhas looked at her, and wished she'd make up her mind what kind of person she was.
Losa, this is a dangerous business, and it's never bothered you before. We have good security. We'll be taking precautions. Do you want that rejuvenation, or don't you?
Oh, of course I want it.
I think you're just annoyed that I found the contract and not you.
Maybe. Oh, I must need one. I'm turning into a cautious old lady before my time.
You're not an old lady, Losa. And now, you never will be.
By the time the flagship reached sector headquarters, Esme had begun thinking of the court as a door to freedom. Freedom from the tensions and rivalries of a cluster of scared junior officers with not enough to do. While it made legal sense, she supposed, to keep them all isolated and relatively idle, it felt like punishment. Even the largest ship has limited resources for recreation. Duties normally fill most of its crew's time. Esme tried to make herself use the teaching cubes. She encouraged the others to use them. But with a knot of uncertainty lodged in the middle of her brain, the rest of it couldn't concentrate on anything as dry as methods for backflushing filters in a closed system, or communications protocols for fleet vessels operating in zones classified F and R. As for the tactical cubes, she already knew where she'd gone wrong by going back to Xavier, and there was nothing she could do about it now. Besides, none of the tactical cubes considered the technical problems she'd faced in starting a battle with a ship which had suffered internal damage in a mutiny. She could not work hard enough by day to ensure restful sleep at night. Physical exhaustion might have done that, but her share of the gym time wasn't enough to achieve that. So the nightmares came night after night, and she woke sweat-soaked and gritty-eyed. The ones she understood were bad enough. Replays of the mutiny or the battle at Xavier, complete with sound and smell. But others seemed to have drawn from memories of every training film, every military gory story she'd ever heard, all jumbled together like the vivid shards of a shattered bowl. She looked up at a killer's face. She looked down to see her own hands slimy with blood and guts. She stared into the muzzle of a Pierce Schochin 382, which seemed to widen until her whole body could slide down inside it.
No! No! Stop! No!
That time when she woke, tangled in damp bedding, someone was pounding on her door.
Esme? Esme!
Yes?
It was not a door, but a hatch. She was not home, but aboard a ship, which was better than home.
I'm all right. Just a bad dream.
Some of us need our sleep too, you know.
Sorry.
Esme struggled with a rush of sudden, inexplicable anger which urged her to yank open the hatch, not door, and strangle the speaker. It was the situation. Tempers would naturally flare, and she must set an example. She lay back against the bulkhead, the safe, gray bulkhead, thinking.